was growing up, there was only one rule about Lens in the Badal household, and everyone had to follow it, no matter what. Everyone in the house had to give up Mountain Dew for Lens. I think it was because Dad was like a Mountain Dew junkie, and so he was just like, if I'm giving it up, everybody's giving it up. And he was just like, and we're not doing that whole you can skip on Sundays thing and have Mountain Dew. No, no, you got to go the whole way, no Mountain Dew, which I have to admit made Easter awesome, because we would just drink tons of Mountain Dew till we were sick, you know, and it was great. That rule still exists in our house to this day. So yes, one of the things I'm giving up for Lent is Mountain Dew. Looking forward to Easter to drink it once again. Now, I grew up with that mentality, you know, that Lent was a time that you gave things up, right? And even this morning when we had our children here and I asked them, you know, what they were doing for Lent, many of them said the things that they were giving up. So I went off to seminary and went to College Seminary Brute in Indianapolis and had a spiritual director for the first time in my life. And I remember talking to him about Lent, and he asked me, what are you taking on for Lent? And I went through and I said, well, I'm giving up Mountain Dew and blah, blah, blah. You know, went down the whole list. And he said, no. I didn't ask you what you were giving up for Lent. I asked you what you're taking on. I had never even thought of it that way before. So it was quite a process for me to kind of think about what are things that I want to do in addition during Lent. His point was, and well taken, and I think it's a good one for all of us, is that Lent, because we give things up year after year, it becomes a very dour and downcast season, you know? And it is. We are sinful man, and we are in need of repentance and forgiveness of our sins. The problem with that is you give these things up, and like we did with Mountain Dew, you get to the end, and you just take it up again where you left off. No change has taken place. We have not had a conversion of heart. We are not different people at the end of Lent. So, for your benefit, I have composed, and this was on behalf of the kids. See, nowadays, like on YouTube and all that, like people love these top 10 lists, right? Like top 10 TV shows, top 10 video games. Kids love that stuff. So I came up with, and for your benefit, this is Father Dan's top 10 lists of things you can do in addition during Lent, things you can add to your life during Lent. Now, fair warning, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that you should do everything on this list. I'm not doing everything on this list. These are things through the years, though, that I have added on during Lent and I found very, very beneficial in different ways. Some are silly, some are completely serious, and some I think are absolutely necessary. So sit back, relax. We're going to go through the top 10 things you can do extra during Lent. Number 10, drink water. Now, I say that because a lot of people, they give up the sugary stuff, the pops, the sodas, all these things that, you know, aren't really the best for us. Rather than doing that, rather than giving those things up, I would ask that you do what, you know, most doctors would tell us to do. We were supposed to drink 8 glasses of 8 ounces of water, so 64 ounces a day in water. When you think about it, it kind of makes sense. We're 70% water, right? So if we drink more water, we're going to function better. We're going to be healthier. We're going to be more active and alive and energetic. We're actually, and studies have been done on this, we'll actually have a better mood when you drink more water. It actually increases our brain functionality. We actually do better when we have that water flowing through our system. So top thing, drink more water. And the irony is if you do, you'll actually stop drinking more of those pops. You'll kind of put that by the wayside. The sugary stuff will just kind of fade away. So drink more water, at least 8 glasses, 8 ounces a day. If you do like water, bottle of water, it's like 16 ounces a bottle. So what, four of those, 4 bottles of water a day. That's what you should aim for. That's number 10. Number 9 is exercise. You should take on some kind of exercise, whether you're walking around, whether you're doing push-ups, whatever it is. And there's a lot of things out there that you can take on that have nothing to do with having weightlifting equipment or anything like that in your house. Please take on exercise, no matter what it may be. It is so beneficial to our body. God created us this way that we need to get up and be active and do these things. And it just, again, fulfills us in such a deep way when we can just use our bodies the way God designed them to be used. And it works with the water. You're drinking the water, you're sweating, you're getting exercise. It's great. So go with those two. Number eight, then, this is maybe one of the first ones where you're just like, nope, not going to do it. Number eight, take cold showers. Yeah. It was funny. I mentioned that this morning. One of the kids was just like, I was already planning on doing that. And I was just like, are you serious? It's like he read my list ahead of time. But he was. He was going to take cold showers for Lent. Take cold showers during Lent. Now, you think I'm crazy, but the nice thing about that, and you maybe even think to yourself, well, Father Dan, that means I'm taking away warm showers. So you're asking me to give something up for Lent. No. This is in addition. You are taking on cold showers. Now, think about it. We have this cold, wintry weather that we have out there. If you're taking cold showers in the morning, you step outside and you're like, it's not too bad out here. You know, you're already like acclimated to the cold. Not to mention, think how much water you're going to save. You go in there and you're just like, and you're like shivering, you know, and you're getting it all done, you know, and as fast as you can. You know, it's like 2 minute showers. You're in, you're out. It's great. But also, when you're taking those cold showers, it gives us a chance to really offer up what we're going through. And I'm not saying turn it all the way cold that you're like, you know, in pain, but at least uncomfortable. And then we can offer it up for family members and friends and those who are sick, those who are dying, those in our community that could use that extra prayer. Taking cold showers does that very well, as does the next thing on the list. So making it in at number seven is sleeping on the floor. I know. Another one you're saying, nope, not going to do that. Sleeping on the floor. And another kid, right, Donna? There was another kid that was just like, yeah, I'm doing sleeping on the floor. So we have people taking cold showers and sleeping on the floor. So parents, I apologize if your kids are like, I'm doing this because Father Dan said to. Sleeping on the floor does very much the same thing. And we see a great example of this in now Saint Pope John Paul II. After he died, they were beginning the canonization process. They were trying to make him a saint, and they interviewed all these people that were involved in his life, including his housekeeper, the person who came and cleaned up his apartment and just kind of kept it in good order. And she revealed that there were many times, not all the time, but many times she would go to the house to clean, and she would find a sleeping bag or a mat laid out next to the bed. She was convinced that he just wasn't sleeping in his own bed. He just would sleep on that mat or that sleeping bag. And he was offering it up for us, for the Catholic Church, for the world. Sleep on the floor. Number six, read. Please, for all that is holy, read. There's so many good things out there. If you haven't read the Bible, read the Bible. If you haven't read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, read the Catechism. There's so much good stuff in there. We can learn so much about our faith during this Lenten season. Pick a saint. Pick any saints and find a book about their life. Read about it, exemplified. Or what I'm doing, I'm taking a spiritual reading. It's called Abandonment of Divine Providence, written by this French priest. I've been trying to read it for the past year and I haven't gone around to it. So now in Lent, it's going to happen. So find a book, read, take that on, devour that information, let it settle in your hearts and change your lives. So read. Number five then, volunteer. We're pretty good about donating money and we're good about, you know, giving of ourselves in different ways, but when you volunteer and you give your time to something, whether it's at the church, whether it's at something in the community, not only do you have the benefit of seeing the fruits of your labor, which I cannot speak highly enough about how that affects us psychologically. When you can see change in the world around you, positive change, it is huge. But not only that, but when you volunteer, you walk away feeling the better for it. And I know that's a cliche. I know everybody says that. I know everyone who's trying to get volunteer says you'll feel better because of it. But guess what? It's a cliche for a reason. It's real. So coming in at number five, volunteering. Number four on the list, save your money for charity. Now, what I mean by that is, if you are giving something up for Lent, let's just say you're giving up soda or coffee or whatever it is, calculate how much you normally would spend on whatever that thing is, and then multiply that by 40 days. So that you're not just giving that thing up and then you're just like, hey, I got this extra money now. No, figure that up and save that money So that now that giving up of something, it has a meaning to it. It's not just some arbitrary, I'm just giving up coffee, which, by the way, I do not recommend giving up coffee for Lent. I tried that 1 year. You notice it did not make the list. I was a very bitter, angry man that Lent. Do not give up coffee. But if you do, and you're going to Starbucks every day, and you're spending all this money, save that money up, whether it's, you know, $30 or $100 or $1,000. If you're spending $1,000 on coffee, you might have a problem. So that would be a whole other issue. But save it up. Whatever it is, save it up and give it to charity. That way, whatever you're giving up, it actually has a purpose to it. It is intended for something greater. Number three on the list. We're getting to the top three here. Make someone's day. Now, I have to admit, this is the one thing on this list I have not tried myself. I read it in a book. It was The Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin. I've been wanting to try this for a while. What it is every day, you wake up in the morning and you intentionally, purposefully pick somebody in your life and you're going to make their day. Whether that's complimenting them that day, whether it's thanking them for something they've done in the past, whether it's writing them a handwritten note, whether it's giving them a gift, whatever it is, every day you're going to be intentional. Now, when I read the book, they were like, yeah, the first 10 days, easy. You know, it's family members and friends. You got that down. But after day 10, then you're looking around, you're like, I don't know who else to make their day, you know? And you're like, I guess I'm going to help Carl, the janitor, you know? I don't know, you know? So work on that every day you're making someone else's day. And then it's like it's Christmas every day. Like, you're planning to make this person happy, and you just kind of find yourself giddy about it, and you can't wait to make their day. So number three, make someone's day. Number two and number one go very closely together, and I say these are pretty much necessary for Lent. Number two, go to confession. This is a penitential season. This is a time where we recognize our sins, our faults, our weaknesses, hence why we need change, hence why we need to be transformed. Go to confession. I don't care if it's before or after Mass. I don't care if it's at the penance service. Get your sins forgiven. You may do it at other times during the year, but this is the ultimate time to have that done, to have our sins recognized, forgiven, and given that fresh start by God. And then lastly, drum roll please, number one on the list, and you probably have already guessed it because it hasn't been mentioned yet, pray. And if you're a St. Pat's parishioner here, I know you guys are saints. All of you guys, my people, you are saints. You do no wrong, and you pray all the time. I know that. But you can always pray more. And I would say if you're praying 15 minutes a day, make it 30. If you're praying 30 minutes a day, make it an hour. You know, like really engage in this prayer process. Go to the Adoration Chapel. Take on an extra devotion that you've not done in the past, whether it's devotion to the sacred blood of Jesus Christ, whether it's the rosary, whatever it may be, pray in a way that you haven't prayed before. When I was in seminary, there was a point where my prayer got very stale. It was just kind of the same thing day in and day out. I went to my spiritual director, and he was just like, I just want you to sit on the other side of the church, and it'll change everything. And he was right. You just change where you sit, and suddenly you got a different perspective. So take on a new kind of prayer. Take on a different way of coming at God in this Lenten season that's going to reanimate and reinvigorate you. Because, yes, we are ashes. We are dust. But because of our God, we have new life. That's what the resurrection is all about. And if you don't make these changes, at least something along those lines, then the resurrection makes no sense to us. This top 10 list, it's suggestions. But I hope you take it seriously, that you really want to make a change in your life, that this year, something different is going to happen. That this year, real transformation and conversion of heart become a reality. And so when Easter comes, you're going to look back on this day and say, I'm better than I was then. And thankfully, we have an awesome God that will help us along the way. Amen.